across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is Thursday morning, February 8th, 2024. This is Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Breitlove, and I got a question for you. Did you know Wisconsin is a 50-50 state politically? I mean, as literally almost as it gets. There's a new Marquette poll out showing that by one measure, President Biden and former President Trump are tied 49-49. So almost a 50-50 state, except for the 2% of you that still can't choose between one of those two fellas if you had to. You don't have to, but you can tell us who you would support. You can tell us your input on the poll, all kinds of other information today at 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. We'd be happy to have you here. And here for me today is in Madison at the Global Center of All Things Civic Media, down here for an Up North News function. And so stopped by here to say hi to some of the radio friends in Madison before I get on with the rest of my capital city workday here, which does not include Greg Bach because he's not here in Madison. He's at the Civic Media compound in Waukesha.
Yeah. I'm trapped.
I mentioned to him that I'd packed up all of my gear except for a mic stand. So I'm doing, I've got the old handheld thing going here.
And dude, no, Craig's stand up.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They, I like that. Yes. He's like, yeah, I'll run one over to you, except that he's, you know, 70 miles away or something like that. But it's so warm and nice here. I could hear birds singing this morning because the temperatures are getting to be to that point.
It's 41 degrees down here.
It is. It's 41 here in 41 here in Madison as well. Back home in Chippewa Falls, it's 42. Hayward, 41. Park Falls, 37. Wausau, 36. Green Bay, 39. La Crosse is at 44. Rapids, 39. Oshkosh, 39. Just so very unusual. Though that worked in my favor this morning as somebody who has a key card for the Madison studio. I can get in here anytime I want.
Well, Pat, hold on one second. I gotta get you the proper background music for your story.
Oh,
here we go.
Grandpa's gonna tell a story here. I'm so glad that I did not have to wait outside the Civic Media studio in Madison in below zero weather as I took my key card and so confidently swiped it across the lock, pulled the knob. But nay, the door would not budge. Again I tried, and again, pulling the door each time, pulling and pulling, but the doorknob itself would not turn. Was there a secondary lock? Was I not given a key to the doorknob? I could only stand outside in the 40-degree balmy weather, again, thanking the heavens above that it was not 40 below, until Sam Davison arrived to my rescue, swiped his key card, and said, "Oh, you got to know the special wiggle. You got to push the door in first and then pull it."
A special wiggle.
A special wiggle was what stopped me from getting this show set up one moment earlier than absolutely necessary. But I made it. I made it through the barriers without having to answer any riddles by simply finally learning that the Civic Media door has a secret wiggle.
There we go. It.
We did it. We did this all together somehow or another. Wow. I honestly was so flummoxed. Ooh, get the bell ready. I was so flummoxed to pull on that door and pull and pull. I didn't watch Sam go, you know, after standing outside for 20 minutes waiting for him. But anyway, we're here. And for folks watching on the video stream, this very high-tech looking map behind me, I'm not in the studio, of course, because there's a show going on over there as well. So, and I was going to be in the conference room, but I decided Todd Alba has a nice desk, you know, here in the bullpen. We've got Luke Mathers. I'm not even going to show you his desk because of the condition of some fresh produce that is really no longer fresh on there. Terry Bell is over there. Anyway, this handwritten map behind me is a very crude drawing of the signal ranges on a map of Wisconsin of the Civic Media Radio Network. So this is the Civic Media Empire behind me.
I thought you were in like a geology lab or something.
It does feel like it. I would love to, you know, again, we've got State Street right outside the window here. We don't really have it set up where you can, you know, see the Capitol Dome or the traffic off of a camera like this. But it's, again, it's a beautiful location up here at the top of State yeah. Street, right off Capitol Square. In fact, I even wrote a story for tomorrow that you'll find on our website, upnorthnewswi.com, because tomorrow is National Pizza Day. And so Christina was working on a newsletter and saying, well, can you come up with a political angle to Pizza Day? And of course, challenge accepted. I can find a political angle to anything. And of course, you got to go with Ian's and the role that Ian's played during the Act 10 protests in 2011.
Never mind. Sorry. Nothing against Ian's. Nothing. I love Ian's, but I was like, huh.
You have to go back a ways. Okay. But there were people from all over the world, when they heard about this, were phoning orders into Ian's, you know, basically saying, take my money and feed the protesters. And some people, we'll talk to people, Ian's is still their favorite pizza simply as a result of the role that they played during that. But then we get into where Governor Evers, you know, like to hang out for his yeah. pizza joint, some of the show regulars, although not you, I forgot to ask about you. We'll save that for tomorrow. Greg Bach's favorite pizza. Tomorrow.
I'll just say this real quick. I was protesting in Madison for Act 10, against Act 10, and I didn't get a slice of anything.
Oh, you were over on the other side of the building. You should have been should have been just a little bit closer. All right. Well, so coming up on the show today, we will talk to Joe Sopecki. We won't talk to him about his favorite pizza, but you can read about it tomorrow. And again, there is that new Marquette poll out, and we don't spend a lot of time on it because, again, frankly, it's a snapshot of one day, of one slice of the electorate. It does tell you, you know, the ways in which Wisconsin is still equally divided in some ways and not so equally divided in others. The things that people still are in favor of that a Republican-led legislature just won't seem to pass. So we'll get into that a little bit. Kristen Lierley will be with us, as she often is on Thursdays, for her Women Win Wisconsin segment, talking about women who are leaders in their community, who may be considering a run for office. Well, she fits in her own category today, along with two other women, Alicia Saunders and Kelly Peterson. All three of them have said that they are thinking about running for Congress in the 8th District. And so they actually got together and held a public forum of sorts last week in Green Bay. So they're going to talk about that, not just the race for Congress, but also, you know, just women getting involved overall, running for office or supporting the people who are making that decision to run for office. So that, again, is coming up at 7:30. Kristen will join us at about 6:50 for today's history segment. In our newsletter this morning from Up North News, a few different stories to tell you about. There is, Christine has a story in there about some of the unique sledding hills of Wisconsin. Can't use them right now, but we're not done with winter yet. So if/when the snow comes, some of the more unique downhill thrills that you can find in Wisconsin if you're going to go sledding. Sunday is National Inventors Day. She has an article on 5 things you didn't know were created right here in Wisconsin. And then there's my story on a tale of two presidents. They're both old, they're both white, the similarities end there. The choice in 2024 could not be more different. Although again, as we see in the Marquette poll, there are some folks that still can't seem to tell the two apart, can't seem to understand the very, very real differences between them. So we will continue talking about things like that here on Up North News Radio and all across the Civic Media Radio Network. At 6:15, let's just take a quick look at sports, just enough to tell you that the 11th-ranked Badger men's basketball team did not look good yesterday in Michigan. They lost last night on the road 72-68. I put the game on when I got to my hotel here in Madison and just watched as they struggled for the second game in a row to make any three-pointers. They were 5 of 19 from beyond the arc after going 3 of 19 in their loss to second-ranked Purdue on Sunday. So it is the first three-game losing streak of the season for the Wisconsin Badgers, who are right now trying to figure out how to get their groove back on shooting those three-pointers. Civic Media is your home for the Super Bowl because you can hear the game on WRCO, Radio from the Center in Richland Center, 100.9 FM. You can tune in for the big game, Super Bowl 58, between the San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs. Coverage will begin at 1 o'clock. Kickoff is at 5:30. Again, that's on Radio from the Center, WRCO in Richland Center, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And of course, all across the Civic Media Network, you've got no shortage of local high school sports that will be playing. The Milwaukee Bucks host the Minnesota Timberwolves. You can catch that game on locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, Oshkosh Air Support, News from the Center in Richland Center, Lake Air in Amory, WRJN in Racine, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. Some of the things we'll be talking about today as we unpack the news include the Marquette poll, but also in the news today, there is talk that Republicans in the state legislature are so essentially fearful of maps that could come out from the Wisconsin Supreme Court that they're making noises that they may capitulate and adopt the most recent maps that had been submitted by Governor Tony Evers that they then modified a bit, thinking that at least if they send that to Governor Evers and try to persuade him to sign it, it would still be a better map than any of the ones the Wisconsin Supreme Court is considering. Governor Evers says he's going to wait and see what they actually do and see what's put in front of him. But again, it's just an ongoing recognition by Republicans that after 12 years of rigged maps, that they are so far out of step with mainstream Wisconsin values that they need to save face as much as possible before being forced to compete in more competitive districts. So that's one more of the stories that we're following. We'll talk more about the Marquette poll, however, in just a sec, right after reminding you that wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday morning, even if you're right here in Madison, when you're here, you're up north, live on the Civic Media Radio Network. This is John Williams, and I'm sure you're wondering, what movie is this from? And it's not. If you're familiar with any of the NBC news themes, the Today Show, Nightly News, they all kind of sound from, they've come from a similar vein. They come from this, I believe it's an 11-minute piece of music that they asked John Williams to put together back in 1985 and are still using it to this date. Now you can kind of hear in the background, I think this is for like Meet the Press or something like that. In fact, if there's another clip, if you have it there, that's more of like,
yeah, hold you on. Know, write it down.
You know, you're listening to like Nightly News or something when you hear the strings and everything come in. Why are we saying all this? John Williams is 92 years old today.
There it is.
Yeah.
I like the other one because it sounds like the stormtroopers are about to like to take the press into
and this is the guy who did just that. He gave us the Imperial March, the stormtroopers, the Indiana Jones and Jaws, and so many other themes. We may play one or two more of those before we wrap up today. More in today's history lesson coming up in just about a half hour. Except I got to tell you what. I'm getting dirty looks over here in the Madison studio.
From who?
Well, again, I was going to use the conference room, but the way the thing is set up, it's so far from the outlets for my laptop here. And I thought, again, Todd Alba, he's got a clean desk, and Luke's not in. But I see Terry Bell's just kind of giving me the stink eye here because Terry Bell, his desk is in here. So he's like, oh, am I going to have to be quiet now while I get some work done? Yes, Terry, you will. Sorry.
Welcome to Pat Starts to Unravel.
Welcome. No, it's like, welcome to Pat's taking over other people's offices. Yeah. And that's just how, so if you hear that I'm being roughed up and kicked out, it's not a bouncer. It's Terry saying that he wants to use his office again. So again, apologies ahead of time if that's what you hear. All right. The Marquette poll that was done yesterday by the Marquette University Law School was conducted. Now, this part is interesting. This poll was conducted January 24th through the 31st. Why is that interesting? It took 7 days to do this poll in order to get 930 registered voters with a margin of error of plus or minus 4%. Once upon a time, when you had the Gallup poll and the Harris poll and some of the other polls that were out there, these things were done in an evening. They do it like right after, say, the State of the Union speech and be able to get a quick snapshot to get a representative sample of public opinion. With caller ID and cell phones, if you talk to pollsters, they'll tell you it does now take 7 days to get enough people to answer their phones who, again, would create a representative cross sample of the population. So they've got those 930 people in. And as we go through the results, now, as I mentioned before, Terry was looking at me funny. He's now walked into the office. Terry, I'm sorry, I did not know you actually started work this early. He's looking at me like, what?
Look at Terry, you mind your business. Mind your business, Terry.
He's being way too gracious. Again, if you see an arm come in and grab me by the scruff of the neck, it's Terry. But he says it's all good. So back to our poll here. So this was the first stat that stuck out at me among registered voters. Again, there's a difference between registered voters and likely voters. But again, among registered voters, Joe Biden, 49%, Donald Trump, 49%. And even if you bring it down to just those people who said they are likely voters, it's still 50 for Trump, 49 for Biden. Again, well within the margin of error. It's a 50-50 setup, no matter what. Now, both Biden and Trump are supported by big majorities of Wisconsin voters within their own parties, 90% of Republicans for Trump, 91% of Democrats for Biden. So you have to ask yourself, among the independents, how does that break down? Right now, independent voters in Wisconsin break for Joe Biden, 49-42 for Trump. Now, the poll goes on to ask all kinds of questions about job approval, favorability, enthusiasm. I skip right past those. Again, they're just esoteric. They're just kind of, you know, window dressing about how you feel about somebody today. What counts is how do they say they're going to vote, and do they say they're going to vote, by the way, right now? Here's the only one I'll note about job performance, that right now President Biden's job performance is 41% approve, 58% disapprove. But even among those people who say they somewhat disapprove of Biden's job performance, if you say, okay, you somewhat disapprove of Biden's job performance, but how are you going to vote? It breaks for Biden 50-44. Then they ask, you know, which candidate do you think would do a better job on specific issues? On immigration and border security, 54% say Trump would do better compared to just 28% for Biden, which is stunning when you consider the events of the past week, where former President Trump has yet again, for Republicans, killed a border and immigration bill. And so once again, nothing will get done. As was said, by the way, we've talked frequently about 2013 when Republicans in the House killed a Senate bill that got 68 votes. But it had actually happened previously. There was a 2006 deal that had been brokered and passed the Senate. And there were multiple bipartisan attempts during the Trump administration, including in 2018, when again, it passed on, or it got through bipartisan support in the Senate, and Republicans in the House said, no, we don't. It's like they don't want anything to happen. But right now, because they talk about it so much, that in this poll, people believe that Trump would do a better job on the border, even though he did nothing when he was president. He talked about it a lot, built a couple of miles of a wall, a couple of miles of a wall, and otherwise next to nothing else. On the economy, again, Trump gets the nod, 52 to 31, despite one tanking the economy and one rescuing it from millionaire to there. Then on healthcare, 40% say Biden would do better compared to 36 for Trump. On Medicare and Social Security, it's 42 for Biden, 37 for Trump that say he'd do better. And on abortion policy, Biden, again, bests Trump by a margin of 44 to 36. Then there's this question that makes me, you know, makes me wonder about everything. The phrase, too old to be president, does it fit Biden? 61% say it fits very well. Too old to be president, does it fit Trump? Only 29% say it fits very well. Half the number of Biden say that Donald Trump, Olympic gold medalist, no, is not too old to be president. Okay. Trump's actions following the 2020 election, 53% of all respondents believe he did something illegal. 22% say he did something wrong, but not illegal. 22% say he did nothing wrong. They asked about the possible GOP Senate candidates to challenge Tammy Baldwin. All have such low numbers, it's not even worth sharing here. And then the last one I'll leave you with, because it's just downright depressing, and we'll talk to Joseph Pecky too in a minute. Confidence in the accuracy of the counting of votes in the 2020 presidential election. Among Republicans, 40% are very or somewhat confident of the accuracy. 60% of Republicans surveyed are not too confident or not at all confident about the counting of votes in 2020. The lesson there, sadly, is that propaganda works. Joseph Pecky's up next. You're up north. Welcome back. Time for Joseph Pecky. It must be Thursday morning, and we're now getting to that point where when we talk about what we think is happening in Wisconsin, we have something else to guide us, and that would be the Marquette University Law School poll, which, again, I caution all the time, is just a snapshot, but it is a snapshot, so we'll play with it. Joe, how are you?
I'm okay, man. What a year this week has been. Is kind of how I'm feeling.
That's exactly what this is. It's been quite a week. And now you have the Badgers looking ugly in Michigan, and just everything is coming together to wrap up the week here. But oh well, we will carry on, and we'll get to the Bucks as well in just a minute or two here. But let's start. I talked a bit about the poll off the top of the show here. So let's again state the obvious. Wisconsin is a swing state, especially when you see on one of the questions, it's basically 49-49. Welcome to Wisconsin.
Yeah. So a couple things jumped out in this poll to me. One of them is that the gap between the economy and the way people are perceiving the economy is starting to close. People are beginning to understand that the sky is not falling. The promised recession didn't come. Joe Biden and the Democrats in Congress, who did things like the CHIPS and Science Act and the Infrastructure Act and the Inflation Reduction Act, warded off the worst economic projections. And people are starting to feel that. We're seeing that in part in the right track, wrong direction, which is getting a little bit better. We're seeing it in part in pretty good numbers for Tony Evers. There is still something going on with Joe Biden, though, because while Biden and Trump are tied 49-49 in the poll, and it's 50-49 in the likely voter screen, when you ask the other head-to-head that there are people out there who want you to believe is still possible, and that's Nikki Haley versus Joe Biden, there is a huge swing. I mean, stunning. Right now, tomorrow, if there was an election, Nikki Haley would beat Joe Biden by 15 points. And that represents a 30-point swing among independents in terms of the matchup between Donald Trump and Joe Biden and Nikki Haley and Joe Biden.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it's not November. And if the election were today, then the numbers we're talking about right now would be the numbers from 9 months ago, which, again, I'm not trying to be rose colored glasses on dark Brandon over here. but this is the stage of the race still where people are saying, is this what we have to look forward to for the next 9 months, which is a different mindset than, okay, it's November 5th, time for me to go vote between Biden or Trump, because there's still no path for Nikki Haley unless it involves somebody in an orange prison jumpsuit.
Yeah, like leg irons is, and yes. At this point, Nikki Haley is the break glass in case of emergency option. And when you see things like Ronna McDaniel stepping down from the RNC, and
right, the one who would break the glass, she's not going to be there.
Yeah. So this is Trump's party. They're playing out the string, and you know it's Trump's party because of what happened in Washington, D.C. this week. And this is where I really feel what a year this week has been, which was the absolute cluster debacle. In a different medium, there would be some four-letter words sprinkled in here of what Republicans pulled this week on Capitol Hill.
Mm-hmm.
In December of last year, when Democrats from Joe Biden on down said, our allies, the free people of Ukraine, who believe in self-determination, who have been invaded, literally invaded, tanks have rolled across borders from Russia on orders of Vladimir Putin. Our allies in freedom are running out of ammunition and they need our help, and we can give it to them. So let's do another round of foreign aid. Republicans said, no. You got to secure the border first. And so over the last 6 weeks, Chris Murphy, Kirsten Sinema, and James Lankford, three senators, a Democrat, an independent, and a Republican, and a very conservative Republican, sat down and hashed out the toughest border security bill in American history. And Republicans said, oh, just kidding. We didn't mean it when we said that. No deal. And why? Because the orange god king Donald Trump from Mar-a-Lago called the code red and said, don't do it.
It was stunning. Stunning. There was no talk of defeating this bill until he spoke. And I have never seen such lemming-like behavior until this moment. And I honestly don't know how people like Tom Tiffany and Scott Fitzgerald and Derek Van Orden, I really don't know how they talk about this with a straight face.
Right. It's insane. The lack of understanding that passing a bill right now, today, in February of 2024, doesn't mean that if all of their dreams come true and Donald Trump is restored to the White House and Republicans control the United States Senate and Republicans control the U.S. House of Representatives by January of 2025, there's nothing stopping them from doing another border bill. But these absolute clowns have been telling us that there is a crisis at the southern border, that this cannot wait, that we have to act now. And as soon as Democrats called their bluff and said, you want border security, we want funding for Ukraine, here it is, we got a deal, they backed away. So which is it? Is it that it's not a crisis at all and they just made it up the whole time? Is it that they care more about Donald Trump's political prospects than they do the safety and security of this country? Or are they so opposed to aiding the free people of Ukraine as they fight for their lives against an invading army? Are they so opposed to that they refuse to lift a finger? Which of those three things is it? Maybe it's more than one at the same time, but it is so dispiriting and disgusting and revolting. And Mitt Romney said he was appalled. And I am beyond appalled, because this is the kind of stuff that our international adversaries see and they go, America's in decline. What do we need to do? They're doing it to themselves. This country used to be able to do big things. Now we can't even do the little things because Republicans refuse to be a serious governing party guided by any principles other than we want to win and we want you to lose. And that is no way to run a railroad.
It was like watching the end of the Soviet Union. You know, the anniversary of that was this week where they just finally crumbled under their own dysfunction. And we're seeing that with a major party here, the party of Ronald Reagan, on this week of Reagan's birthday, that this party, which stood up against the evil empire, which stood for immigration reform and putting, you know, limits on undocumented immigration, to have these pillars of Republicanism blown up this week is absolutely stunning. And I have to laugh that they are still thinking they're on offense about this. They're still talking about, you know, impeaching Mayorkas when they couldn't pull that off yesterday, you know, day before yesterday either. It's just been a landmark week that Republicans in the future will look back on and go, how did we ever recover from this? Assuming they recover from this.
How did they get there? They sold their soul to a carnival barker. I mean, it's just like I didn't know that it was the anniversary of Reagan's passing this week, but the notion of his birthday, right? So like for his birthday, they got, you know, they threw a funeral for Reaganism. There is nothing within the Republican Party that resembles the Republican Party of Ronald Reagan anymore. There just isn't. And
well, tax cuts for the rich and drawing up the deficit.
I wish I could still find some humor in it, but it's no. I don't know how you unwind this if you're Republicans. They need to lose bigly. The Republican Party is not going to save us, and the Democratic Party can't do it by their own. The American people have to see through this ridiculousness and decide enough is enough. And Republicans have to lose by a lot. I am a guy who believes we need a healthy Republican Party. This ain't it. This ain't it.
It's not. And the thing is, Joe, propaganda works. Propaganda works because among Republicans in this Marquette poll, 40% are confident in the accuracy of the 2020 election. 60% of Republicans say they're not too confident or not at all confident in an election that was free and fair and accurate. And so long as this propaganda works on 60% of Republicans, I'm not seeing a Republican feel they're not going to heal. They're not going to heal.
Yeah. So that's what I'm grappling with this week.
Well, that's okay. Look, the one I'm grappling with is does the phrase "too old to be president" fit? 61% say it fits Biden very well. For Trump, only half as many, 29%, say it fits very well. Really? That Olympic decathlete, Donald Trump?
I'm good with feats of strength between the two of them. Joe Biden will run circles around him, literally. And this does speak to the opportunity, which is that even still at this point in the calendar, Donald Trump is not in the living rooms of the American people day in and day out. They have not seen how much he has deteriorated in the last 4 years. Yes. They have not seen that he confuses Nikki Haley with Nancy Pelosi, and that is very different than stepping over a word when you had a stutter as a child. And so that stuff's going to get better, and it is going to be a choice election. It is going to be Joe Biden versus the alternative, Donald Trump, and not Joe Biden versus the almighty. And, you know, we'll get there and I'll be more positive next week. But this week, the depths to which the Republican Party have sunk are really leaving me feeling away.
Let's end back on state politics, because this was very interesting that Alexander Scherr in the Wisconsin State Journal put up a note that said that Senate Republican leader Devin Lemahieu is now talking about passing the original, or the Evers maps, rather, as a way to try to circumvent the Wisconsin Supreme Court's new maps. So they're trying to, again, guess what would be, in their mind, the lesser of all evils. I'm skeptical, but it does seem to say that Republicans in the legislature are genuinely fearing one of these maps, one of these consultant maps coming out of the state Supreme Court.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, they're running for their lives. And if I was Governor Evers, I would say, let them run for their lives as long as they can. They have not been reasonable, rational actors in this. So to let them bail themselves out at the 11th hour, boy, I would not be racing to do that. There is a process in place. The court is following that process. That's what should happen.
I've left us 60 seconds to get the latest on the Bucks. 1-4 under Doc Rivers, a necessary adjustment or alarm bells?
No, I still feel better long term than I did 6 games ago when they made the switch. Mm-hmm. This is not easy, and the scheduling and the timing was always going to be tough. But at this point, I would rather we be the 2 or 3 seed in the East than the 1 seed with that defense. This team will end up emerging from this better off. I still believe that.
I like the optimism. And then finally, Niners Chiefs. What do you got?
I got the 49ers, and not just because Melissa's a 49ers fan. I think the way they fought back in the last 2 games after going down, which is not really a thing that they've done. They have not been a team that comes from behind. 1 through 53 on the roster, they have more talent, and they now know how to win ugly. Look out. But I think it's going to be a really good game.
Hope so. Joe Zepecki, thank you so much as always. Have a great day.
Talk to you next week.
This, of course, would be Frankie Lymon and the Teenagers with Why Do Fools Fall in Love? It hit the charts on this day in 1956. Back now on Up North News Radio. At 6:51 right now on this Thursday morning. Should be checking in with Kristen Lyerly fairly soon. Greg Bach here as well. On this day in 1958, a group called the Quarrymen performed in Liverpool. Afterwards, one of the band members of the Quarrymen, a guy named Paul McCartney, introduced another member of the band, John Lennon, to his friend George Harrison. And Greg, they weren't the Quarrymen for very much longer.
Who were they?
They later become this little old group known as the Beatles.
The Beatles?
The Beatles, yes, as it were. So, hey, Dr. Lyerly joins us now from Green Bay still. This is the longest stretch you've been home in so long. Do your children even know what to do with you anymore?
They're like, Mom, it's time for you to go. No, it was sad. I just got back from dropping my little guy off at school, and we were like, bye. See you in 2 weeks.
Aww. Well, it was nice. How are you otherwise?
I'm good. Did you know that the Beatles were the Silver Beatles before they were the Beatles?
Yes, they were.
Yes, they were. Mm-hmm. Yep. And they actually at one point were thinking of calling themselves the Four Everly Brothers because they love the Everly Brothers so much that they were just going to do a play on words there.
But love the Everly Brothers too.
Mm-hmm. Of course you do. You appreciate all this stuff.
One of their biggest hits written by Milwaukee natives, or not natives, but from one of those wrong songwriters from Milwaukee. So,
what?
Yeah, Bulow, I believe is the last name, but they were a songwriting husband and wife team, and they wrote hundreds of songs responsible for 500 million record sales, and the Everly's first big hit was written by them, and the wife is from here in Milwaukee.
You're kidding. What song was it, do you know?
Whatever their big first hit was.
And off Greg goes to the Google machine to tell us a bit more about that.
When Will I Be Loved? That's my guess. Right.
Yeah. All right. In case you missed it before, happy 92nd birthday to the guy who gave us all kinds of movie music, including this little number. would be John Williams, who also gave us the theme Superman and Jaws, Jurassic Park, and so much more. Again, 92 today. And I have to say that that YouTube clip that Greg is playing right now with some Philharmonic Symphony, I don't know which one it is, but I mean, we've heard this forever, but to watch an orchestra making this happen, again, it's just it just gives me chills every time as somebody who doesn't play an instrument and to watch what they do. Greg, Greg, why are you mocking me?
I'm not mocking you, Pat, I promise. The title of it's German, but it reads as John Williams and the Wiener Philharmoniker.
Oh, is that what you saw? See, that's why
Vienna. That's how you say Vienna in German. Like Wiener Schnitzel is Vienna.
So they spelled it wrong on the YouTube clip is all.
Okay. It looks like Wiener, okay? I'm sorry.
That's fifth grade Greg talking
we
right
are,
now.
We are children, suddenly.
It was Bye Bye Love by Felice and Boudreaux Bryant. That was the name.
Okay, there you go. Mm-hmm. Happy 63rd birthday to Motley Crue's Vince Neil.
There's something so delightful about Pat Kreitlow cueing Dr. Feelgood by Motley Crue.
If you want some comedy in your life or a little sadness, watch like live isolated videos of Vince Neil singing now. It's awful.
It's not the same. No, it's not. Let's see. Actor James Dean was born this day in 1931, passed away in 1955. Not to be confused with the country music singer Sausage King. And newsman Ted Koppel is 84 years old today.
Love Ted Koppel.
And let's see. Happy, oh, he didn't do the math, 76th birthday to Dan Seals of the group England Dan and John Ford Coley.
Thinking about you.
Please look up this album cover.
Another great 70s album
this
cover.
Is amazing.
So yeah, when you hear England Dan and John Ford Coley, the England Dan was Dan Seals. He is the younger brother of Jim Seals of Seals and Crofts.
Oh.
Which kind of begs the question, why didn't these two Seals brothers just do their own thing? And they later did. They just never charted with any hits here. So Marcus Johnson of the Milwaukee Bucks fame, 68 years old today. Let's see. That's it for birthdays. One more musical note. And it was on this day in 1964 that the lyrics to this song were under investigation by the FBI.
What the heck?
We all know the song.
Yep. Here come those obscene lyrics. So yeah, the FBI honestly was investigating this song for obscene lyrics. So on this day in 1964, the song's publisher offered $1,000 to anyone who could definitively distinguish the dirty words in the song. Because there weren't any. It was just nonsense.
Our government was a bunch of nerds back then.
Because of dirty words?
Yes.
They were worried about dirty words?
Yes.
That's what was happening in the world back in 1964?
Yes. Oh, yes, it was. Oh,
it was
Mother Glory.
A much different world. This is National Boy Scout Day. This is National Opera Day. This is National Punschke Day, although most people celebrate that, you know, on Fat Tuesday coming up next week. And this is National Molasses Cookies and Molasses Bars Day. I've never had a molasses bar, but my daughter makes the best molasses cookies.
Oh, I'd give her a run for her money.
Ooh,
you know, that's the one thing I really enjoy about you, Dr. Lyerly, is that like 99.8% of the time you are sunshine positivity. And just that little bit when challenged, you're like...
a little thing gets under her skin and just like, oh yeah?
Oh yeah?
Let's have a bake-off.
Oh yeah, Kreitlow's daughter? I will beat you with this cookie pan. Mine are so much better.
Okay. Everybody wins, because think of all the cookies that people get to eat in this contest.
I'm here in the box show. I'm not getting cookies.
We'll find a way. We'll get you all here in Madison one of these days, where again, you can come into this very sparse room and
with an
get
oven.
To meet one another. Yeah. have it out that way. All right, more with Kristen Lyerly and Greg Bach and Kristen's guests all coming up here in our next hour as part of our Women Win Wisconsin segment. We'll get Brittany Merlot with her forecast heading into the weekend, and Luke Mathers will wonder why I'm currently occupying his office. That's all coming up right after this little pause for news. You're up north.